like to have a copy of God's Word, New Testament of the Bible, that is, offered to you freely. Yours simply and only for the taking. No cost, no obligation to you. The Gospel, God's testimony, that is, record concerning His Son sent into the world to be a Savior, to deliver us from a certain and a known danger, that of course of your own personal sin and involvement in it. The good news, glad tidings. Only good news that there is in Stafford or anywhere else in the world today, believe me. The treasures, the riches of God's grace that come to a person freely can't be bought. You know, you can doubtless buy a lot of things in Stafford today and maybe perhaps very cheaply. But of course, God's grace is not cheap, not by any means. Comes to men and women such as you, presented to you, that is, at great cost, expense, death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, sent into the world that you might be saved from the present wrath of God and the wrath to come. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. No cost, no obligation. Gladly place into your hands if you would like one. Of course, the Bible, God's Word, tells us it's the only place to go for your information, don't you know? Because, well, you're living in days, I suppose, just like any other age, you know, where, well, there's nowhere else to go, you know, trustworthy source of information, that is, as to how you came into being, you know, how the world came to be. You go to your philosophers and they give you lies such as, damnable lies such as evolution. And you go to your churches like this one behind me, you know, of the Roman one, the Roman variety, you know, and what do you find? Nothing but apostasy, nothing but false religion. So where do you go in order to get the truth? Jesus, He says that it's the truth that will make you free. So where is it that you go for the truth? Well, there's only one source, and that's to go to God Himself. And of course, that's the reason why He's given us the Bible. That's why He's given us His Word, written form, so that it wouldn't be forgotten, so that it couldn't be diminished, so that it couldn't be added to, so that it could be set firm and concretely written down for every generation. He has promised us that His Word shall abide, it shall remain forever. So, available in all ages. And of course, it's that word that I direct you to, not mine. Not mine, my opinion's no more profitable than yours. What I think is of no consequence to you or anybody else whatsoever. I mean, people do come asking me for my opinion, but, you know, what's my opinion over yours? No, it's God's Word that you need, and God's Word that I bring to you. It's there that, you find, the foundations of the Christian faith, that you find the foundations of salvation. It's there that you find the regulation of salvation, what it is that we are to believe in order that a person may indeed be saved, not become religious, not necessarily become a church goer, a sayer of prayers, but that you might be saved, salvation, that you might be born again, that you might be brought to eternal life, your sins forgiven, and to know the assurance of God's favor, and to know that when you die, when you breathe your last, you know that you won't be faced with a wrathful God, but you'll be faced with the one who would be your Redeemer, should you, that is, but believe on His Son, Jesus Christ, for salvation. So it's here, you see, it's the Bible that determines, you know, what a Christian is. Not what this lot here behind me say. It's not what the Pope of Rome says. It's not even your opinion as to what constitutes a Christian. It's what the Bible's, what God says in His Word. So, you know, how do you measure up? Because this is the standard by which you're going to be judged, like it or not, you know, believe it or not, you know, you can mock it, you can sneer at it, you know, you can do what you want with it, but you know, it don't shift the truth, it don't shift that one iota. You're going to stand before God and you're going to give account. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Then you give account to God, and this is the standard by which you're going to be judged. Yeah? Every man, woman, and child ever born into this world, or that ever shall be, shall stand before the judgment throne of God and give account in that day. And by this standard, God's standards, not mine, not yours, not what I say, not what you say, but what God says. That's the standard by which you will be judged in that day. So that's why I impress upon you the necessity of going to the Bible, of going to God's Word yourself, and to see what He has to say. Examine, if you will, you know, the words for yourself. Why offer to you week after week copies of God's written Word, that you may be instructed, that you might know, at least know what it is that's required of you in order that you might be saved. Well, the Bible begins by telling us why it is that you need saving. Because in the beginning God made the first man. Adam, his name was. And he wasn't just the first man, he was the head of the entire human race. He was put to the test and he failed the test. He sinned and brought sin into the world. He entered into a contract with sin that was binding not just upon him, but upon the entire human race. So here you are today, conceived in your mother's womb. That's where your sin began. That's where your sinful life and career began. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, there you were conceived, and 9 months later you were born in sin. And of course have lived in sin all your days since, and will continue to do so, and die in your sin, that is, unless the grace of God intervenes. Unless God freely, sovereignly, as He pleases, and He does not come to everybody, He does not save everybody, that is not promised, that is not assured to you by me or by the Bible itself. God saves whomsoever He pleases to save. He's sovereign. He's free to do with you or anybody else as He likes, as He pleases. Some vessels are made for honor, says the Bible, and some for dishonor. Which will you be? I don't know. God says in His Word that He has predestinated. That is, He has pre, that is, before, destined some for salvation and some for damnation. There was an election, you see, took place before God created the universe, in which He chose some to salvation and chose others, some that is, to damnation. Which are you? Well, I don't know. But that's not the question. That's not your question. Your question is, will you repent of your sin? Will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, you shall be saved. That's God's command with an assurance, if you like, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But of course, if you say, no, I will not, I choose not to, I wish not to, and I never will, well then you've got no complaint. The gospel is presented to you, you are commanded, you are directed through God's Son, and to believe on Him in order that you might be saved, that you might know eternal life, and that you might be happy in this world and happy for the world to come. But you choose to reject, you say no, just like many, many do in this age, and of course have done through the ages. You're not willing to come to me, said Jesus to the Jews, that you might have life. Not willing. That's the problem. Not willing to come to Him that you might have life. But life to be found, eternal life. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the wages of sin is death indeed. That state of death that you are already in, born into, conceived into, born into and live in, not life but existence, existing in this world for a short time, and then that state of death continues throughout eternity. Unless Jesus Christ gives you life, unless that is you are born again, the Bible tells us. You see that sin lies deep within you. Sin is in your very nature. It's in your vitals, you know. It's your nature. It's the nature that you have, you know. A lion roars, why? That's its nature. A dog barks, that's its nature. You sin, why? Because that's your nature. You were conceived, you were born in sin, and so you quite naturally sin. So the nature must be changed, not just your practice, you know. Some people think to themselves, well, I'll be good, you know, and I'll go to church, I'll visit at one of these establishments here each and every week, you know, and I'll say my prayers, you know, I'll do this and that, I'll become religious, you know, and then God will favor me. Not so. Jesus says ye must be born again. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot understand, that is. He cannot perceive the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God lest he be born again. That is, unless by the supernatural activity and power of God in the gospel that you be born again. That is, your nature changed so that instead of being a God-hating and your neighbor-hating person, you become a God-loving and a neighbor-loving person. Sum and substance, you see, of God's law is this, that you should love God and love your neighbor, says Jesus. Well, that you don't do that, you see, points, indicates the kind of nature that you have. You know, naturally speaking, in your natural state and condition, as you're born into this world, you know, and the Bible, God says, you know, that you hate God and you hate your neighbor. Not that you don't, not just that you dislike the idea, the concept of God, but you hate Him and you hate your neighbor. That's your natural state and condition. Well, the indication, you see, that a change has taken place, that there has been the necessary transformation, that you are indeed, you have indeed been born again, is that, well, you love God and you love your neighbor. So if that's not your testimony, if you can't say that honestly, well then you've never been born again. And if you've never been born again, well then you're not a Christian. You've never been made a Christian. You see, here's the thing, you see. The Bible. I point you to the Bible. That's the only source of information that you've got that's available to you that you can trust. It's God's Word. And He says you must be born again. And the evidence that a person, a man, a woman, has been born again is that there has been a radical change within. But a change not made by you yourself, a change made by God Himself. He must make the change because you have not got the will, you have not got the power, you are without strength. And of course, well, in the grace of God, you see, when we were without strength, well, Christ died for the ungodly. God, you see, Himself has made the means available to us. He has produced and provided us with the righteousness. A righteousness not of our own, because yours and mine is like filthy rags, says God. Like a menstrual cloth, says God, untouchable by Him, defiled, unclean. That's your good, that's your best, the very best of your deeds. So, you see, dear friends, nothing to offer to God in the way of righteousness. You stand before God in that day in your own righteousness, profiting your righteousness to God, then you're going to be in serious trouble. You need another righteousness. That outside of yourselves, the righteousness of God revealed where? In the gospel, in the good news, the glad tidings. God's Son sent into the world in order that this righteousness of God might be presented to you. Through faith in the Son of God, you see, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing the articles of the Christian faith, that is, what the Bible reveals, declares, and requires of you. Faith apart from works, apart from any deeds of yours, any doings of yours, any reformation that you care to make within your own life at any point, any juncture, beginning or end. Friends, no work of yours can bring salvation, can bring eternal life, can bring righteousness that will get you a pass on the day of judgment. One thing and one thing only, and that's faith. Faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth shall not perish in their sin, but have everlasting life. Whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed, but those who do not believe in that day shall be covered in absolute and utter shame in that day. Yes, son. What?
Is it a donation box?
No.
Oh, it's at the
no, you keep your money, son. You'll need it. Yeah. Have a nice day, kids. So like I say, friends, it's so under God's opinion, not mine. For God has decreed, for God tells you, faith towards the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, when a person, a lot of people, you know, in your country today, which, you know, they would still confess if you pressed them, you know, they would say that they were Christians, and you ask them why, and they say, well, you know, because I go to church on a Sunday, or I go to church Christmas time, you know, yeah, and we went to a carol service, don't you know, of course we're Christians, you know, and they're deluded. They're absolutely, utterly deluded. They think because they sing a bunch of carols at Christmas time that makes them Christians, you know? Or because they attend some kind of synagogue or some kind of church building that makes them Christians. No, it doesn't. ye must be born again. The nature must be changed. The nature of the beast must be changed, transformed by the miraculous power of God. For the person who has truly become a Christian, you see, a new work has begun in them. A new work has begun in them by God, you see. And there's an end. That old nature in which you were conceived and born is slowly but surely, gradually being put to death. Mortified is the word that the Bible uses. Killed, in other words. Slain by, of course, well, the death of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for sinners. You see, that old nature has to be killed. It's your master that rules over you. You know, you're under sin, you're born under sin, you're born into slavery. Slavery has not come to an end. It's not finished. There's still slavery today. Every man, woman and child born into this world is born into slavery. Sin is your master. That sin nature in which you were conceived and born is your master. And you obey it all the days of your life until the Son of God, by His death on the cross, puts to death that old sin nature. And when a person has been born again, that work has commenced, has begun, fundamentally, and then it carries on, a putting to death of that old nature, all your days till the end of your life. Only then will you be free, totally free of sin, of that sin nature within you. But if that work has not begun, if you've not been born again, then you're not a Christian. No matter how many times you attend the church, no matter how much you say your prayers, no matter how you were brought up, matters not whether you were brought up in a Christian home or a pagan home or some godless home. You believe nothing. You believe nothing, in other words. So like I say, friends, you know, or rather, like Jesus says, unless you've been born again, unless you can point to that day, that time in your life when there was a transformation, when God came to you in His Son, Jesus Christ, and you can testify, you know that you were born again. A change took place that you could not bring about by your own strength, your own power. A transformation. And now you can confess, you can testify. Now you no longer hate God and hate your neighbor, but love God and love your neighbor. So you see, unless there's a delight, you know, a delight, a love for God, and a love for the things of God. Delight, you know, in the law of God. You know, that which God has commanded. You know, now you strive. The person who has been born again is a person who finds delight in the commandments of God. They're no longer burdensome to that person. They're a delight to him. And they seek to live their lives in accordance, the opposite way to which they used to live. That is contrary to the commandments of God. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? Well, contrary to God in your nature to begin with, and contrary to God in your practice. Living contrary, that is, to God's law. What does God's law say? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The God of the Bible, that is. The God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, that is. Thou shalt not bow down thyself before any graven image. Make graven images. Huh? You go to some religious establishment, like this one here behind me, or the Church of Rome, and you bow and scrape before idols, and you call yourself a Christian, contrary to the second commandment. Roman Catholic and Christian, those two words do not go together. It's anti-Christian religion. Idolatry. Any religion that does not conform to the law of God, the commandments of God, I tell you, is nothing but blasphemous, idolatrous religion. And a person who has been born again of the Spirit of God, who has been made new by Jesus Christ, is a person who has forsaken such idolatry, who has turned from such idolatry, has repented of it, does not bow before idols anymore, but worships God and God alone. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. On a Sunday, you know, you don't go kicking a football or watching other men kicking footballs, you know. You don't do your own thing, your own pleasure, your own delight. It's a day for seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You're not a Sabbath keeper, you're not a Christian. You don't keep God's day holy unto Him, then that's because you're not a Christian, you've never been reborn. It's the evidence, you see. You need to have evidence for what you claim. Well, where's your evidence? You claim to be some kind of a Christian. Well, where's the evidence, I ask you? Show me the evidence. Tell me about the evidence, about the change that took place, and tell me about how you live now in accordance with God's commandments. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And what about thou shalt not kill? Huh? You subscribe to the notion, the idea of abortion. You know, the killing, the slaughtering that goes on day after day in your country, in your nation. Slaughtering children, unborn children. 12 million to date, they tell me. 12 million unborn children dragged from their mother's wombs and slaughtered on the altar of your nation's sexual pleasure. Do you subscribe to the idea, the concept of abortion? Then I would suggest to you, your need is to be born again. Your need is to repent and believe the gospel. Your need is to be transformed by the grace of God, to be made a new creature in Jesus Christ. And then you will love life. You will choose life. You will hate the manslayers. You will hate the murderers that murder the unborn children in the name of your own nation. How can anyone, I ask you, who has been born again to eternal life, who has been given an understanding of what life is by God Himself, how can that person possibly subscribe to the notion of abortion? And then, of course, well, you have it at the other end of the spectrum. Now you're killing euthanasia, is what they call it. A good death, the word means, don't you know? There's no such a thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. But now you're killing people at the other end. Now you're killing the aged. Now you're killing the terminally ill. Now you're killing. No, don't you know? Very, very few people actually die of cancer. Before they get there, they're given an overdose of morphine to finish them off, to end their suffering, so-called. I tell you, I warn you, there's no such a thing as a good death outside of Jesus Christ. Without faith in Him, you are faced with eternal damnation. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill is plain and simple. Because God loves life. God is the giver of life. Life is His to give and life is His to take. Not man's, not yours, and not mine. So the person, you see, a person who still subscribes to this notion of killing human beings wantonly, as you do in your Western society today, Well, if that's you, your need is to be born again. You might call yourself a Christian. You can call yourself anything you want. You can call yourself Santa Claus. That don't make you him. No, you must be born again. There has to be a change by the grace of God. You have to be made altogether new. That old nature has to be killed, has to be put to death, and you have to become, or becoming, you know, what God requires, actually requires you to be. And of course, some of the other commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. Every form of sexual immorality known to you. And then some more, I guess. All the sexual perversion and deviance that there is amongst you in your modern society today. Oh, did you think so good? I mean, the Church of England is quite happy with it. The Church of Rome seems to be quite happy with it. Their priests, you know, and their popes are involved in it, supposedly. Another report from the Church of England today, another paedophile priest, you know. Friends, the sexual perversity, explosion, you know, in your modern society today, and you turn around with the audacity and ask me why God should be angry with you? Blazing, furious, I think, rather would be the term. Oh, angry, yes. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and all the unrighteousness. All the covenant breaking, the departure, the apostasy of man from God. Righteously so, righteously angry with the wicked every day. Because of the wicked perversions, because of the evil of your deviant sexuality, there is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Oh yes, you better believe it. Really, he is angry with the wicked every day. But that's the evidence of God's love. Because a person who is angry with wickedness is a person who loves. You show me a parent who's never angry with their children, and I'll show you a parent who does not love their children. Don't you get angry with your children, your grandchildren, when you see them involved in wickedness? Why do you get angry? Because you love them. The anger of God with wickedness is evidence of his love, because he loves. If he did not love, he would be totally indifferent to your wickedness. He would just leave you to it. But then I think maybe that's maybe part and parcel of the judgment upon you in your society today, because of your lawlessness, because of your iniquity, that God is simply giving you over to what you want. Giving you your desires, giving you your perversity, giving you over, madam, to your wickedness, giving you over to your deviant minds, giving you over to your perverted ways. The prophet, the priest, and the people on the street, every one of you, given over what the Bible calls the reprobate mind. So man says he doesn't want God, doesn't want his love, doesn't want his son, doesn't want anything to do with them. So God says, okay, I'll open another door for you, and I'll even give you a shove through the door. Yeah? And I'll give you over to another power. I'll give you over to the power of yourself. I'll give you what you want. I'll give you what you desire. I'll give you more of what you want. I'll give you more of your sin. And so God punishes you with more sin. Until that is, the cup is full, fills up day by day, and then when the cup is full, doesn't matter what age you are, when the cup is full, that you're done, God takes you out of this world and judges you and casts you into the flames of hell, where the worm dieth not and the flame is not quenched. The end of your sin. Unless this change, unless you've been born again, unless you've been made a new creature in Jesus Christ, unless God has changed you. Not you changing yourself. Not you becoming religious. You've got 9,900 religions in the world today that you can take a pick of. Any one of them. You can quite easily, anybody can become religious. Go knock on the door here behind me. They'll make you religious. Go to the mosque, the synagogue. They'll make you religious. You can do it yourself. You don't need God's help for that. But to be born again, you do. To become a Christian, you do. To become a new creature in Jesus Christ, for your sin nature to be put to death, for your sin nature to be killed, to be destroyed, for your slave master to be put down, and you set free from your slave master from sin. That takes the power, almighty power of God. You can't do that. Not yourself. You can do religion. You can do religion, and many, many people do. Islam, Rome, Watchtower Society, they all do it themselves in the flesh. Flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit who gives life. Spirit of God. You must be born of the Spirit of God. Heart circumcised. New heart. New nature. Altogether new. Unless you've been born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see. He cannot perceive the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. So you see, the person who's been born again is a person. His life pattern has changed. What the Bible calls repentance. Let the wicked forsake their way, pattern of living that is, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's the wrong thinking, you see, that leads to the wrong practice. It's where the practice comes from the thinking. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, says Jesus, that turn into evil actions. Murder, immorality, theft, blasphemy, all comes from the thinking process. Evil, falling, depraved, perverse, defiled thinking. The mind is rotten. You're rotten from the inside out. It's the inside that needs to be changed. The unrighteous man, his thoughts, let him forsake them. You embrace God's thoughts and you begin to think God's thoughts after him. Pure thoughts, holy thoughts, thoughts according to God's commandments. These are the good works that proceed from faith, the only good works acceptable to God from men. Those which are presented to God in true faith, a true living act of faith, according, that is, to the commandments of God. Anything else is just wood, hay, and stubble is just ready for the fire. So you see, the man, the woman, the person who's been born again, made a new creature in Jesus Christ, is a man, is a woman, in whom this change has taken place, brought about by God himself, not by themselves. So you see, a lot of people, you know, they imagine, you know, that they have good works, you know, that God will accept in that day when he judges them, you know, and out of their imagination, you know, giving money to the homeless, maybe perhaps feeding the poor of other nations, you know, subscribing to the United Nations, UNICEF, you know, the Red Nose Day and all that. All that, my dear friends, will be burned up in that day. It's not worth anything if it does not come from faith. And if it does not come from a true faith, I don't mean faith in Islam. I don't mean faith in the Pope. I don't mean faith in the Church of England. I mean faith in Jesus Christ. If it does not come from a faith installed by God, implanted in you by God Himself, enabling you to lay hold upon Jesus Christ, to believe in His death, His resurrection, and make you an inheritor of eternal life, and your good works presented to God in accordance with His word, His law, from that basis of faith, it's not worth a light. You're just wasting your time, your money, and your energy that you need to be putting into getting yourself right with God. This is the work of God, says Jesus, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Jesus Christ Himself, that is. You need to spend your time, your energy, seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Why? Because He will not always be to be found of you. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Comes near to you in the preaching of the gospel, in the proclamation. It's the means that God uses to bring men to salvation. Foolishness to those who are perishing, yes, says God. But to those who are being saved, the power of God unto salvation. Ask and it shall be given, says Jesus. Does that mean if you don't ask, you don't get? Some people don't ask and get. Some people ask and they don't get. But you could ask. Seek and ye shall find, says Jesus. Some people seek and they don't find. Some people don't seek and they do find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Some people knock and the door's not open. Some people don't and the door is open. But that's what Jesus says. That's what He commands you. Except you repent, He says, all ye shall all likewise perish. God now commandeth all men everywhere. Matters not where you come from. Afghanistan to Alaska, there's no passes for anybody. Jesus Christ, whether you live in the backwoods of Afghanistan or the frozen waste of Alaska, it matters not. God requires all men everywhere that they should repent. That's the first line of the call of the gospel, command of the gospel upon you today. And it's a command just the same as thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false testimony. Just the same, God commands you to repent and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And you can't enter it any other way. There's no pass given to anybody. You can be religious and be so very, very diligent in your observance of your religion. It matters not a whit. It's Jesus Christ that you need. It's a Savior that you need, not a religion. It's a person and His work. That which He accomplished, not what you accomplish. His death, His dying on the cross, His rising from the dead. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. God's command with the assurance of salvation. Bible, God's word, God's testimony, His own record concerning His Son. You say it's not true, you reject it. You reject the word of God, you call Him a liar. God's record, God's testimony, given to you, presented to you in order that you might be brought in the grace of God, sovereign grace of God, that perchance may be peradventure that you might be brought to that place of repentance and of faith towards the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that alone brings salvation. No other way, no other name under heaven given amongst men by which you must be saved. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus says. No other. He commands you today to repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I command you in His name this day to hearken to God's word. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, because you'll do one or the other. Either you'll be better or worse. Nobody comes in contact, whether it's even just in the passing, nobody ever comes in contact with the gospel, even just in passing, and remains the same. Harder, further from God, and further from salvation, or maybe ripened for salvation, maybe brought to that place of thinking, considering, meditating upon these things that I present you with today. The gospel of God's salvation, the mercy, the grace, the loving kindness of God in sending such a one as Jesus, is sending a Savior, Christ the Lord, that you might be saved from the present and from the wrath to come. Oh, I bid you, or rather Jesus does this day, repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent ye and believe the gospel. You like a copy of God's word? Check these things out for yourself. It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply for the taking. You'd like a copy of God's word, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy upon your prayer.